The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter Jeremy Camp and his wife Adrian share what it was like to watch the most powerful movie about his tragic past.
And I came back later and I'm standing behind my family, it's my wife and my three kids, and I'm watching them see the darkest part of my life, but realizing that they're seeing God's faithfulness, because here we are together as a family seeing on the other end how God has come through.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Sheila Walsh is with me.
Hey, guys.
And we're excited because I have to read you just a little bit of this real quick to set up today's guest, because Jeremy Camp, if you don't already know, that in his career over the last two decades, he has sold over 5 million albums. He has 41 number one radio hits. I think that may be more by now. A Grammy nomination, 3 American Music Award nominations, 5 Dove Awards, 4 ASCAP Songwriter of the Year. And we are excited to welcome Jeremy and Adrian Camp to Life Today. Great to have you guys.
Guys, thanks, thank you.
Guys.
Now that I feel embarrassed.
I actually was going to say, and add to that list, he's married to an epic South African woman.
Yes, absolutely. I love your accent. It's just absolutely gorgeous. One of the things I wanted to ask you about was, I remember the day that your movie was released, I Still Believe, and we'll talk a little bit about the backstory there. But I remember it opened in, I don't know, like 6,000 movie theaters or something, and it was the number one movie. And then the pandemic hit. What kind of impact did that have on you guys?
It was tough because if you think about it, you know, you for a few years have put blood, sweat, and tears behind something. And, you know, let alone having to relive grief is very difficult. And so, you know, as we were filming the whole thing, I had to relive a lot of the grief, and it was difficult. You know, I went through some really hard times, but, you know, one of the most beautiful things was during the filming was I remember breaking down at one point. And just, you know, it was a very difficult scene. And I ran off the you know, set, and I was just weeping. And my wife came and just held me and just cried with me. And I came back later, and I'm standing behind my family. It's my wife and my three kids. And I'm watching them see the darkest part of my life, but realizing that they're seeing God's faithfulness. Because here we are together as a family, seeing on the other end how God has come through. And so... But so it's difficult to not have that really reach what we thought it was going to, but I think it actually reached deeper than I thought it was going to. And that's the whole goal anyway. It's like my expectations were definitely taken down and it was difficult, but I think the depth overall and how it reached people's hearts because of the pandemic was so much greater. And that is the heart's goal.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was almost for us having to live out really what the movie was, that it was like, even though I can't see, I still believe.
Yeah.
And so even in it was that whole thing going, God, we don't even understand right now, like, why you're allowing this to happen and what's going on around the world. And, you know, we've poured so much into this, but really just having to have an eternal perspective of seeing God at work in other ways, even though it wasn't what we were expecting or what we thought it was going to look like, you know?
Wow. Now, for those in our audience who did not see the movie I Still Believe, which is available for you guys, you can go watch it. Jeremy, give people a little bit of an overview of what the story is, because it's a true story. It's your life.
Yeah. So, you know, about 23 years ago, I met this woman named Melissa who was incredible. And so we got married knowing that she had cancer. But really, I felt like going into it, you know, I was down for whatever. I was like, God, I'm going to marry her no matter what. But I really believed that she was going to be healed. And the whole story is basically our love story, how God brought us together. And then 3.5 months into our marriage, she went to be with Jesus. And so really, it's the story of, you know, someone coming together, stepping out in faith, knowing, okay, we're going to trust the Lord in this no matter what. And then kind of the journey afterwards and what the struggles that I went through and the difficulties, but then watching the release of like this is what God has done in his faithfulness. And it was a beautiful kind of picture of his redemption. You know, I'm not going to give it away, but, you know, this beautiful young lady next to me, she doesn't make an appearance, but someone that plays her makes an appearance. And it's a special kind of sign of God's redemption for sure.
You know, one of the things that I thought when the song came out, then the movie and the book, I mean, and also I've watched interviews that you've both given, is how well you have stewarded your suffering. So often we want to avoid suffering. You know, nobody welcomes it. But the way that you have both stewarded that suffering, it's like the fruit. I think only eternity will reveal the fruit that has come from the tears that you have shed. But I wanted to ask you, Adrian, you know, when you meet Jeremy, and you were a very awesome singer in your own band, and you guys come together, when it became clear that you were falling for one another, I wondered what it's like not only to come into a relationship with someone who's grieving, but I would imagine a whole family who was grieving. How did you navigate that?
Honestly, you know, there are parts of it that I feel like God really gave me the grace to handle, and then some parts of it were really hard. But what I really tried to do constantly was just to think about, instead of taking it personally and sort of putting myself front and center, I really try to put myself in other people's shoes. Wow. So for instance, like, you know, with each moment, like, okay, so Jeremy's bringing me home for the first time. If I was Jeremy's mom and, you know, still grieving Melissa, what would that be like to have this new girl walk into the room? And just to really try to create space for where their grief might have still been. You know, Jeremy's mom still had wedding pictures of Jeremy and Melissa in their house, really up until, I think it was literally like a few days before our wedding did she finally take them down. But it was almost just in those moments going, yeah, of course it's difficult. But if that were me, like, imagine if I came in and I said, everybody take those pictures down right now. Like, I'm the new girl. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, for one, that's not God's heart. That's not going to get grief or any, it's not going to be good for me. It's not going to be good for them. And so I just always try to put myself in their shoes. Like, what would it be like if I was them? And then just give each other the grace and the freedom, knowing, like, and I don't even know. I mean, I was 21, 22 when I met Jeremy, you know, so still really young. And I'm not saying we even walked it out perfectly. But I think it was just those things that it was like, God, just give me a heart for where they might be, and walk that through with them. You know what I mean? And I think as well, I really saw myself, Jeremy and I became friends first before we were interested in each other. And it was really about just being there as friends. Like, how would you walk this through with a friend instead of, because there's a love interest, all of a sudden be insecure because, you know, it's got to be about me and this is where I'm getting my worth. And so I think it really just taught me to go, okay, God, I've got to get my worth from you. I've got to get my value from you. And that in turn gives me the strength to be able to walk out with Jeremy or his family in any capacity that I need to kind of, you know, what's the thing that I can bring to the table?
And one thing I want to say, just to add to that, the reason why she was such a big supporter is I remember her saying that, she goes, listen, it's not about me. It's not about Melissa. It's not about you, Jeremy. It's about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think that was kind of the whole reason why we were able to walk through this, is that mindset. It's not about us. Mm-hmm. We all know that. It literally is about Jesus. So our preferences or what we want need to go aside and say, God, what do you want? What do you want to do?
I think, you know, what's interesting even about that is it was Melissa's relationship with God that gave me the confidence to know that she wouldn't have wanted it to be about her. Because of her beautiful relationship with Jesus, I could say, I know that's not what she wants. So then I don't have to make it about me. Like, we can almost collectively be in this sort of like partnership of championing what Jesus does in our lives. And and those hard places that he really meets us, you know? So it was really actually, it's just, I think, beautiful how it all just kind of fed into each other, you know.
Amazing.
Yeah. And that's a wonderful way for both of you to honor her life. And I appreciate that. Now, Jeremy, I have to ask you, I read all the accolades at the beginning of the show, but isn't it true that you were actually opening for Adrian's band when y'all met?
You guys are awesome.
You guys are good. All I have to say is that you guys have done your research. I'm very impressed because this doesn't always happen. So very, very well done. Very well done. Okay, but, yes, that is true.
Yeah. Okay. So, but you guys also, I mean, you guys have built a life together. What do you see as the sort of the calling of Jeremy and Adrian being?
You know, I think that, you know, we recently, well, actually a lot, we've done worship together a ton. Mm-hmm. Even last night, we did a worship night at our church together and just had a time of just saying, all right, guys, you know, we're going to have a time of worship, come forward for prayer, whatever it may be. And it was just beautiful. Like, I feel like I always say that it's a little more anointed when she's with me. So I like to have her with me.
I believe so, it. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, and, but we also wrote a marriage book, and I feel like that, you know, it felt like this is going to be marriage suicide, writing a marriage book. And really it was like, oh no, this is going to be a crumble and fall. But actually it was beautiful because it really came together in a way, I think because we were very transparent anyway in the book, like we didn't hold back any punches. I mean, we weren't just throwing out our dirty laundry just to throw out dirty laundry. It was like, here's what we've learned during our marriage and what God has taught us. And here's a way that we can point you to Jesus in the midst of these miscommunications or whatever your upbringing may be that causes you different issues. And so I think marriage is a part of our calling to minister to those that are hurting in that and to restore. I think even just suffering, you know, in 2 Corinthians, it says that we're called to comfort others with what we've been comforted. I think that's a part of also what we've been called to do. And I think music and worship, so.
Yeah. Tell me about speaking louder. What is that all about?
Yeah, so years ago, we love missions, and I love sharing the gospel. I always say that I'm a minister of the gospel who just happens to play music. And so that's always been my heart, always been my mindset. And so, you know, I feel like God has called me to evangelize. And so when I play on stage, I'm always sharing the gospel in one way or another. And so years ago, I felt like that God laid on my heart to do a ministry, a nonprofit, to go overseas and do missions. And so what we have done, I'll give you an example. So a few years ago, we went to Uganda. And what we try to do is we try to encourage the community. So we have a conference for all the leaders in the area to get them prepared for the event that we do. And then we do a health project. So we built a hospital in Tebe, Uganda, which has been incredible to see how that has just really brought people to know Christ, because it's, hey, we're going to provide for your needs, but we're going to tell you about Jesus. And then encouraging the community and also doing a large scale event. We had 35,000 people in Uganda and 1,000 people responded to the gospel. And so we have follow-up there. We work with local churches. We make sure it's not a thing where they fall through the cracks. We really try to make sure that we're working hand in hand with the local people. And so, you know, it's just our desire. I mean, we've done India, I've done Kyrgyzstan, I've done Ukraine, which that's difficult right now. Just to say that makes me emotional for some reason. Jeez. Because I remember going to Kiev and doing an outreach and just the beauty of what God did there. And so my heart breaks. And so that's our desire. We're hoping to go to India again and Georgia, actually Eastern Europe and Georgia, if things are okay, you know, because it's so close to Russia. And so just pray for us in that. Mm-hmm. We're praying about what to do. We want to reach out to the people and so have a heart to go. So
And you guys are busy. You've been on tour this year already, which is great post-COVID, right? But yeah, you've also got a family. How do you manage all of that?
That's a good question. we homeschool for one. And so, you know, it's been a thing that we've brought my family. I would say they come about 50% of the time.
Yeah.
They come about half the time with me anyway. And so we make sure that it's very important for us to stick together as a family. And actually what was very sweet, I'll just tell you this, is that during the pandemic when everything was shut down, I remember my daughter saying, "Dad, we miss the road. Like the bus is our second home." And it makes me happy because it makes me feel like that they're
we
not
haven't ruined them.
We haven't ruined them. We're like dragging them along with us to say, "You're going to be a part of what we do." They actually enjoy it. And so that was a comfort for me to be like, "Oh my goodness, they actually enjoy this and they feel like it's home."
That's, I think, awesome. You know, when they were younger, we, instead of it just being always about like, this is Jeremy's thing and this is what Dad does, we really try to encourage our kids, the sacrifice that you're making has eternal worth and eternal benefits. Wow. So it wasn't just, this is Jeremy, but it was like, we're a team together and we're in this together. We're doing this together. And I mean, even on the road, we would encourage them, like, the Lord can use you to minister to band people and to minister to crew.
And
so, and I promise you, like, we've seen so many times where I feel like the Lord used our kids more than he did us, you know?
Wow.
And so we've always just tried to make them feel like it's a part of it. And it's not just like Jeremy's thing that he goes out and does his thing.
Yeah.
One of the things I love about both of you is you're very honest. You're very vulnerable. And you've spoken, Jeremy, about your battle with anxiety and depression, which used to be, when I was hospitalized years ago for depression, that was a no-no subject. I mean, it was there was so much stigma attached. What, talk to us a little about that and your decision to be open about that.
Yeah, I think that realizing when you start to be transparent, it's like our marriage book. When we started to be transparent and share our struggles, you realize that you're not alone.
Yeah.
You're not an island. That generally a lot of people, more than you think, especially in marriage, that we everyone goes through kind of the same stuff. I mean, different, but everyone goes through conflicts and hardships.
Yeah.
And so I think with me, you know, 4 years ago, it was literally 4 years ago, I went through this time where I was having panic attacks. I was having social anxiety. I couldn't go out. It was really bad. And I remember just, I mean, she was waging warfare with me. It was amazing. It was just her praying for me, listening to worship. And finally, I was just crying out to God saying, Lord, what is it? And he spoke to me and just said, you're trying to control too much stuff. You're not trusting me. And it was I call it the three Fs. It was family, finances, and future. I was trying to I wasn't trusting him with those things. And I also realized I had a relationship with someone close that was very difficult. And I had some bitterness in my heart. And so when I confessed those things, he started lifting that. And I remember just, and I know that there's also other things that just, it's not just a, hey, I need to confess, I need to trust the Lord. There's things and chemical things. I understand that completely.
Sure.
But for me, it was definitely, I was holding on to things that were causing me to have anxiety and depression and in a dark place I was in. But God lifted it. When I said, God, I'm sorry, I trust you. And I'm sorry for being bitter and I want to be forgive, you know, have forgiveness. And so I realized when I started kind of sharing slowly and slowly, I mean, the floodgates opened and everyone wanted to talk about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, let's talk about it. Like, I think that more people battle than we realize, and they just want to know that they're not alone. And it helps you kind of get through that.
That's so true.
Yeah, it is. And I appreciate you being open and honest about it. Not just that with you, but your marriage, your book In Unison, that people can pick
Thank
up
you.
Wherever you get books. That's great. You know, you guys made a purposeful step during the pandemic to do more worship. Not that your stuff is your music isn't worship, because it kind of is, but you guys moved towards the worship. Why was that an important thing, and what do you want people to take home from that when they hear your worship music?
I think, you know, we were so aware, everybody was, of just so many different things going on. There was so much division, so much chaos. And we needed our hearts so recentered and just focused on the Lord. It was just one of those sort of a cry of our hearts going, God, we need to fix our eyes on you, or else we're all going to drown in this. And so I think it was just us going, we need this. And so if we need this, I'm almost sure other people need it as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this was just going like, this is our offering, just going, God, this is so hard, but all we need to do right now is to cling to you. And so it was just one of those moments that we're going, this is what we're actively doing, and we're inviting the community or whoever logs on to be a part of that. You know what I mean? Of just recentering again, going, God, you're the thing right now that's going to get us through, not any right political leader, not any decisions, not any blah, blah, blah. You know what? It's just that Jesus, this is you and you alone.
Yeah.
And so it was just that was us just really crying out to the Lord going, we want to do this. And I think, you know, we really try to be intentional about not just doing it to do it.
Yeah.
Jeremy and I really, we were very prayerful about when we felt led to do it. It wasn't like this kind of formulated thing. We both just, it was really sweet. It actually happened simultaneously for both of us. We would both just be so incredibly burdened going, I think we need to have a time of worship together. And I'd be like, absolutely. I'm, you know, feeling the same thing. So let's just go ahead and do that, you know?
That is so powerful. And you're both officially adopted into the Life Today family. We just love you.
We love you guys. Thank you. We're very excited to be on your show.
There's so much, guys. I want you to be able to go online and you can watch the movie in streaming services, but watch the movie. But one of the things I would love for you to do right now is to watch a little movie of our own, talking about young girls who are captured, trafficked, And they need some freedom. They need to know that there's a reason to still believe. So would you watch this? God's word tells us that Jesus cares for and values little children, while statistics tell us that human traffickers could not care less for them. The only value to them is the money they can make for the traffickers who exploit them for sex and forced labor.
Such was the case of two little girls, Abini and Belly, who were 5 and 7 years old when our mission partners in South Asia rescued them. Abini was living in the brothels with her mother, who was a sex worker. Her pimp was allowed to molest little Abini. Belly was found in a remote village with a madam who was selling her off to an old man who was already abusing and using her for himself. His next step would have been to sell her off to the local brothels in a major city. The good news is Life Outreach, along with our mission partners, are rescuing trafficked children through education in their villages, SWAT team raids literally knocking down doors to brothels, and one-on-one ministry outreach efforts. Both girls are now loved, safe, and cared for in our Life Center, getting an education, learning about the Lord, praying and singing as little children should be doing.
Stories like these would not have been possible without the help of our viewers. But there are still thousands of children around the world crying out for someone to rescue them. At Life Outreach, we have partnered with missionaries on the ground to reach, to rescue, to restore these children of all ages caught in the grip of human trafficking. The only way we can continue this work is with your help. And the time to act, it's now. I will never, ever, ever forget the faces of those little girls, because that's what they are. They're just children, little girls, sweet little girls. That little girl that you saw crying on my shoulder, she was just one of the most precious girls that I'd ever met. But her thing was, when I asked her, who is there for you? She said, nobody, nobody. Can you imagine at 9, 10, 11, 12, that you have no one in this world that you can count on to speak up on your behalf? And that is why Rescue Life is so important to us here at Life Today. Honestly, it's like burned into my bones. Once you've seen those children and you see the desperation, you can never ever forget. Now, this is our last week of Rescue Life. So it's so important that we do something, and that we do something now. Because I've been to both places. I've walked the streets where these young girls are often kidnapped at midnight when they're trying to pick up a few beer cans to sell to be able to give milk to their younger siblings. And I've been to our beautiful home where we take little girls, and boys too sometimes, to let them know you are not forgotten. You wondered, does anybody care? The creator of the universe cares about you, and he sent us. We're coming in his name to reach you, to rescue you, to restore you. And Randy, when we all do something, we can change the world for these little ones.
Absolutely, Sheila. I know it's your heart. You want to be there for them. Yeah, and we all do. And the only way that we can be there is with your help. And Sheila, I don't know if you know this, but over the last 6 months, our mission partners have told us, you saw those two stories right there today. We have reached 1,000 children over the last six months.
Gosh,
I mean,
that's
1,000 stories like that where your love has made the difference. And I got to tell you, it's only through your love and support that we are able to do this. We have people in place, but we need you to continue the ongoing support. And this is the last week we're talking about this on the air, but we're still doing it. This never stops. We also have a matching gift right now. $320,000 matching gift where people have stepped up and said, yeah, I want to match every dollar that you give today. And so I just pray that you would go online or go to the phones right now. The average cost typically is about $128 when we distill all of the operations down. $128 to reach a child, but with the matching grant, your $128 gift today will actually help reach, rescue, or restore two. Now, many of you can do much more than that. If you have the means, a gift of $1,280 will do that for 20 children. We have great gifts for those of you. If you could reach another 1,000 yourself, I pray you would do it. But when we come together, we know we continue this work that is absolutely the gospel in action. So I'm just asking you to pray about it and go online, go to the phones, make the best gift that you can, and know that we are rescuing children. We are sharing the love and life of Jesus Christ. Join us today.
Innocent children and young people longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators, forced into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to warn children who are at risk for sex trafficking, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives and give them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be doubled to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking, and a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you the Prayers for Life Journal, the perfect book to write down your prayers as you reflect on your relationship with Christ. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll also receive the NIV Thin Line Bible, along with 365 Days of Prayer for Life, a beautiful devotional filled with scriptures and key thoughts for each day of the year. Keep all three resources close by for your daily prayer time as you meditate on God's Word. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help save 20 children, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
This is the last week of Rescue Life on the Air, and I just invite you to be a part of really reaching into the dark places. I hope you're going online, going to the phone, making the best gift you can. And Jeremy and Adrian, we sure appreciate you guys sharing. It's just been a joy. Sheila, haven't you enjoyed talking to them?
Absolutely wonderful. Thank you both so, so much for being with us.
Thank you. You guys are amazing. Yeah, seriously, we appreciate you. Yeah.
And we'll see you next time on Life Today.
You made a vow to your mother that you'd give your life to your father, the one who helped you see, won't leave you recklessly.
The Masons faced multiple obstacles: electrocution, infertility, a brain tumor, miscarriage, and cancer. Find out how they overcame tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.